we did see. And then multifamily had reached somewhat saturation, so you want to be a little bit careful there because you also don't want your existing units to stay vacant. So in that sense, yes, we saw that retail would do well in this area.
Now, this was a side note mentioned by Sana Dabadoy, who was the person presenting for WT, I think is the name of the company, for the Bay Center proposal. There's going to be the big meeting between the city and the county tomorrow on this. But that caught my attention because I wanted to find out more whether that's the case. Joining us now, we have Mayor D.C. Rees, and this segment is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with the legacy Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. And tell me, is she right? Was this just around the Bay Center, or was this citywide? Do we have enough multifamily or apartment housing now? Because that's the story has been that we don't have enough affordable housing. What's the deal?
Yeah, so, glad to be here, of course. And look, I think from a multifamily perspective, you have to understand, you know, we're a city of 55,000, and it all depends on what you analyze. And there's a lot of analysis before developers spend $50 million or more, depending on multifamily, right? What's the demand? Just like if you were to start a small business, you're going to start a small business selling something, you're going to probably want to be selling something that has some level of demand that isn't saturated within the market.
Right.
So at this point, of course, with Crest building the 300 units downtown, there's another 300 units that are being planned for next door, as well as the Hard Rock. Remember, there's a multifamily aspect to the Hard Rock at this point. Just right there alone, that you're talking about 800-ish units, and that's multiple bedrooms as well. So when you think about a city of 55,000, I mean, what's coming online in the next 24 months, just on the market rate side, this doesn't count anything at Baptist. This doesn't count anything, affordability. So it's great news that you're adding that much inventory. And just go look again at Austin, Texas right now and look at what happened with their rents when they started to build even more market rate units coming in. Is that it's the natural case of supply and demand. So if there are more units available, then that's going to help control pricing. And so that's why you always hear me say we need housing at every level, from affordable, attainable, homeless, transitional, all the way to market rate, because that starts to help control rent costs. So, at First City, 55,000, and we've got, 1,500 bedrooms going online. That's a pretty sizable chunk when you compare us to our city population.
Yeah, I mean, that's 3%, and that's counting households, not people. I mean, yeah, no, for sure. So are we, because I had noticed this, that some of the rental rates seem to have come down, some of the asking price on some certain houses, that were built for, this kind of market level seem to have declined a little bit. Some of the ambitious prices, I thought, for some of the, like the Horton neighborhoods and stuff like that has changed a little bit. So mm-hmm. have we turned a corner, in your opinion? Are we about to, on the affordability issue?
Well, what I can always use as kind of a high watermark, so to speak, is that I remember looking at a study from a New York-based company in 2018 that said we could actually take 1,600 units downtown tomorrow and the demand would be there. Well, we've come a long way when we start to have other outside objective analysis saying, hey, the market is starting to be saturated. I look at that as a good thing.
Yeah,
It means, one, people want to invest in our city, and two, Andrew, I've said ad nauseum, you got to have inventory at every level. Supply is the biggest controller of rent cost is supply.
Right.
So if we can get supply, and that's why we do shotgun approaches. That's why we do Motor Lodge and Baptist and Community Land Trust and Malcolm Young. It's the reason you attack it this way, because if you're going to sit around and wait on one project to solve your problem, you're going to be waiting too long for it to have any impact. So I'm glad that people want to invest here. I'm glad that we're getting more units online that will help control rent costs for everybody.
As I have been telling people, the meeting last Thursday, you were not at the meeting because you were traveling to L.A. for, the American Idol stuff, among other, or maybe you were doing other things, but you weren't at the meeting anyway. Yeah. A lot of stuff came up in that meeting I want to get to. But before that, trip to L.A., watching Keila Richardson advance, being at American Idol, a little bit of fun.
Yeah, it was awesome. Certainly, very grateful for the Richardson family to invite us out, and it was an incredible experience. And as I just wrote on social media this morning, it's you never feel so close to a community, even being 2,000 miles away, when you see everybody, the graffiti bridge get painted, and all of that support. And it was cool to be there seeing all that, because I think this is the most, obviously, as she gets further in the competition, this is the most support she's gotten. And just seeing, you know, we talked to her that day, and she's like, yeah, you know, I was on 2 hours sleep, and seeing all of that, you know, positivity coming from the city really helped energize me. And, aww, you know, she really meant that. And
that's
so
great.
So, you know, the point is, coming back to Pensacola and supporting her, not only with votes, but with well wishes, and getting to bring her all those cards and the poster from ARC Gateway and all of that. We put a photo up of her getting all that stuff. So anyway, it was an awesome experience, and such an easy family and person to root for.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see what happens. I have the inside scoop of the next song. You know, I got that too, but I'm not going to get in trouble with American Idol. So
I got you. John over here is like, oh, you know, I one time heard somebody say something about going to a baseball game. He said, when I go to a baseball game, I'm not going just to watch the outcome, I'm going to influence it. And I think that's a good way for us to think about right. this, too, is, you know, we can have the possibility of cheering her on and making her feel loved and talking about her and, you know, rooting her on, because, you know, maybe that helps. A couple of things. First of all, the meeting about the Bay Center tomorrow with the county, were you able to secure a ticket? Did you have to pay extra, or are you going to actually be a part of it, contrary to what Charles Bear wanted?
Yeah, no, I heard. I was getting disinvited. It was the first I heard of it. Like many things. From our District 2 council, I learn about them in a meeting that you hear, that Andrew McKay hears the same time that we ever hear. So right. That's normally how this goes, you know, is that we've been, and then it's presented as if, you know, there's all this information given to us and we're defiant. And, but no, typically you hear your information from that district right about the same time I do. So, so we'll see, you know, if they pull, I don't know if it'll have a whoopee cushion on the chair or they'll pull it out or from under me, but I still plan on being there. And really the goal should be, what I look at as the administration's goal, is actually just trying to be the engine that collaboratively moves this forward. And I would think specifically with this council member, probably need some help in that category, considering the fact that, you know, probably starting off this conversation by saying, well, the county's going to do what they want to do. One, isn't fair to the county commission. And two, is fine if you can vote on anything that you'd like. My goal is, I work on behalf of the citizens and the taxpayers here to move this city forward. And if I have a way to help do that collaboratively, then I think that's an important role, and certainly one that I'm willing to take to try to get this thing done.
Yeah, it was a weird collage of takes, you know, how you shouldn't be involved, and I don't know why we're having this meeting, and they aren't very productive, and the county's going to do what it wants anyway. I mean, it's like, oh, okay, just stay home then. Maybe you'll be there without a nameplate or sitting on the short chair or something. We'll see. Do you have a take?
Perhaps.
Between we seem to have a little bit of an internal power struggle in the community right now. Obviously, the report seemed to indicate convention center-oriented facility. Then you have the DMO, the hoteliers have now come out basically and said, we want to see an activity sports related facility. There's some overlap between those two, but they are not the same. Do you have a preference? Do you want to, you may not want to say it yet, but you know how, because those are not the same thing. We kind of got to pick, right?
Yeah. I mean, now that we've got two reports back, excuse me, I would say so far, to me, unique to geography and location of downtown, obviously, a convention center in my mind makes sense. Maybe I'll answer it inversely. I would say if we were to miss out, I think missing out on having a convention center downtown versus some type of sports-based facility, which is not a unique need to be downtown the way a convention center would be geographically, doesn't mean that the validity of it existing it goes away. But I just think that there's a unique need for specific to downtown. That all being said, and you know, this is why we're having these meetings. I think it's a good conversation. And is what I've said in meetings and press conferences is there a happy medium that doesn't undercut the value of either use? In other words, it's 2026. Can we build a facility that can put on a proud convention that looks good and operates well and all that, and then still have some limited capability to use it for other purposes? In other words, being able to take walls down and be able to put in volleyball courts, things like that. Do centers like that exist? And WT has really indicated that they do. So I'm looking forward to that part of it. And maybe that's where we have to dig deep and say, all right, well, great. Let's look at three or four options. I've been saying that for a while. I'll get on a plane and fly to one. Let's look at how it operates. and if it's something that we can all get behind. So I wouldn't eliminate it. We're at some fork in the road right now, this early in the game. I think let's see what these facilities can do. And perhaps everybody can, we can come up with an amicable solution that serves dual purposes.
Maybe we don't get a 10 on either, but if we get an 8 on one and a 4 on the other, we're still well ahead of where we are, and we can benefit from that. That makes sense to me.
Correct.
God, so much I want to talk. The $1 million bathroom, do you want to address this? And the ability for council to see budgetary movements within your budget that they apparently gave up the ability to do and started getting that kind of feedback. This is Jen Brera's concern.
Yeah. So first of all, let's talk about transparency. I would put up our transparency against any strong mayor administration exponentially of the availability of information. I can't name one time where something was requested from any of the 7 council members that we refused to provide ever. And nor would that be our standard. This is a governing body elected by the people of Pensacola the same way I was, and we will always provide information. So any presumption, salacious presumption that we're withholding information is absolute nonsense. As a matter of fact, the council staff used to work for the administration in finance with Dick Barker, they were giving a fraction of this level of transparency and financial information willingly over to the council, and decided to make those more combative issues. We do not do that. So I just want to say that. And what's actually being referred to is there's multi-year, multi-million dollar software that we're installing because our finance software had sunset. So we already know that our finance team and the council's finance team are working diligently to get whatever information that they need. So again, it sounds salacious, but it's not rooted in any fact whatsoever.
What about the $1 million bathrooms?
Any information. The $1 million bathrooms are actually $673,000. We're certainly proud of taking what was going to be more than $1 million and figuring out, kind of like the Portland Loos, figuring out a way to provide bathrooms at Roger Scott finally that have been generation in the making that had need to be replaced, and be able to do it for about 35 or 40% cheaper. So again, all it requires in both counts is just picking up the phone. You don't have to say, something that is salacious in a public meeting as if to present the idea the administration's unwilling to share that information. That's absolutely ridiculous. And they all know that. So we're happy to provide any information that they ask for anytime.
I really want to talk about the small scale affordable housing rental development pilot program. Can you give me the 30-second on this? Because I think this sounds really interesting, but it's something that even when I was listening to the conversation, I did not understand. And I want to understand because it sounds really good.
Yeah. So the 2-sentence version is that we had a gap between, we had some programs to help single houses, and we have incentive programs like EDATE, like type programs that were for large scale multifamily development. But for those properties that were 2 units, 3 units, adding a garage apartment to take something, that might be 2, 3, 4, 5 units, and again, be able to try to attack at scale, there really wasn't any type of incentive program. So that's what this is. So if you think about the old church that John Ellis owned on A Street, this predates me as mayor, and here's a building that they're trying to turn into 4, 5, 6 small units that are more affordable. Then we do something like that. So that's what the program's for.
Okay. That's finding a way for the city to help incentivize those small developments that, when you add up a bunch of small ones, you get a big one. So no, that makes perfect sense. Thank you for explaining that. And I love this project. It makes sense. All right. We also do the lightning round at the end, time allowing, and time does allow today. Your house is on fire. Sorry about that. But hypothetically, and you've got, the people, the pets, and the sort of valuables and whatnot, and don't say your computer. Tell me the one interesting prized possession that you're going to rescue out of that house.
Oh, man. I would say probably Caroline's memory box, I would say, would be my number one. I can replace everything else. I can't make her repaint something from kindergarten. So,
no, I understand that.
Yeah, I would say that would probably be my number one.
Do you have any weird OCD habits? The one I used for me is I like to double click on my fob and not just see the lights flash on the car that it's locked, but hear the horn or the little bleep, bleep, anything like that for you?
Maybe not OCD. I would say the one that everybody likes to comment on is what I'm actually doing right now, which is I'm a walk-in talker on the phone. So you know, I like to say I get my steps in, but I'm not really thinking about that. I'm just, you know, helps your brain fire. And, you know, once every 6 months, someone will send me an article about, you know, how great it is when you walk and talk. I think they're just trying to make me feel good about it.
I do the same thing. When I'm teaching, when I'm on the phone, I hate doing radio in the sense that I have to stand right in one place, but I always stand. I do not sit. And you've seen that for your exact reason. Last one is, when you're watching a movie and you're 20 minutes in and you're bored, do you quit or do you finish?
I've in my old age, Andrew, I've moved to a quitter on those. I've got too much to do. I'm too busy. I can't be wasting it on subpar movie content. So
what if it's at the theater
back in my less busy years?
What if it's at the theater?
Ooh, I don't think I've ever walked out of the theater. I spent too much to get there. I think I'm on principle at that point, you know.
Yeah. I love that your level.
I got $50 into popcorn and three tickets, you know, so I gotta fight through that.
That's great. I love that your level of impatience has gone up as an older person. I appreciate that. Mayor D.C. Reeves, tomorrow night we should have a pretty short city council meeting. Or sorry, next week it should be a pretty short city council meeting. We'll probably talk about that next week. As always, thank you for the time, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Andrew.